TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Back weekly blitz sports week number two, week number one in the books for NFL, week number two in the books for college football, week two for the NFL coming up, week three for NCAA coming up. Brad DeSalle is not with us today. The clown had a circus, so we have a fill-in, Mr. Jim Collis. You've heard us talk about Jim. You've seen Jim's picks on Rick's picks. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. Looking forward to this, discussing last week, discussing the upcoming week.
Before we get into it, let's it's Miller time. Drink a little beer, talk a little football. Before we recap last week, before we recap our picks, let's get into the elephant in the room, and that's AB, man. If you watched Hard Knocks on HBO, you know it's been nothing but trouble with his feet, with his helmet. Finally got his feet situated. Finally got his helmet situated. It's just still no practice. Got fined. Blasting the management online, posting phone calls with Coach Gruden. They finally release him. Gets picked up by the Pats. Everything looks good. And then out of nowhere, he is in a civil lawsuit for raping an ex-trainer. Are you surprised?
I am not. I love the guy's talent. I've never been a fan of him as an individual, though. So I would not be completely surprised if any of this is true or if all of it is true. Purposely stayed away from him in fantasy this year. Don't have him in a single league, which says a lot because I'm in a bunch of leagues.
Right.
But, yeah, it's not a good situation regardless.
His agent says that his client is taking civil case against him seriously. All right, so look, we're not PC here. Let's just be honest. Dude's getting a massage. She starts touching him, starts doing what she does. One of two things happen. Either he did it and they kept doing it, then he declined her. And she got jealous and years later wants the money, or he legitimately did something. If you follow history with these athletes, you could put your own processing together of what you think happened. But on a more, I don't want to say more serious, a more serious note for bettors and fantasy football players, he could be on the exempt list from the commissioner's exempt list and possibly not even play this year. I mean, it's just a clown show that follows him. Patriots claim they knew nothing about this. I believe that if they did, I really don't think they would sign him to a $20 million contract. This hits him out the blue. Do you see AB playing at all this year? I mean, with everything that's gone on with the Raiders, is it just to that point where Roger Goodell is saying, man, enough is enough?
Well, it's funny you say that because I was just having a conversation with a friend. I think this opens the door for the NFL to basically say, we couldn't, you know, you gave us grief about the helmet. You're constantly making us look ass clowns. You know, you're putting social media out there. We're constantly getting onto you. The two teams have already had enough of you. I think they put him on the exempt list. And personally, I think he's done. I think as soon as he goes on the exempt list, I think that New England has somewhere in their, in I'm sure in their contract, they have a clause that lets them out with $0. If he doesn't play, they ain't getting him anything.
You would think that's in any contract with any player. If you get in trouble to the point of an extent list, we're no longer liable to pay you for anything.
Oh, yeah. And as much as I thought it was – I hated to see him leave Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Looking back on it, hearing all the stories, dude, it's almost like he was a cancer. You get so – but you got people like Troy Polamalu calling you out that says – you read that?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, where he's like, we saw him. We were going to knock him out in practice. And the defense was going to knock him out because he was talking trash to Dick LeBeau. And I was like, that's – Dick LeBeau's like a god in the NFL. Yeah. So when you got no respect, none should be given back. So
it's just sad, man. Arguably, a lot of people can make a case for the greatest receiver. Definitely one of the potential this guy had, man. And you saw Pittsburgh laughing when the Raiders cut him, and then they go on and lose by 30 to the New England Patriots.
Right.
More famously, laughing at the Cleveland Browns for losing by 30, and then they lose by 30. But yeah, man. So just explain to everybody what happens when you get put on the exempt list in the NFL. Do you know?
Well, you're not allowed any contact with the team whatsoever. So.
How long is that in effect for? Do you know? Is that until
it's in effect until the NFL removes you from it?
So it's okay. So whenever Roger Goodell says, "I think it's time to bring you back,"
yeah, it's basically the NFL is going to put you on it until they get done with whatever investigation that they have to do. This has nothing to do with a criminal investigation. They could be shorter or longer. They, you know, precedents has told us that in certain players, they're basically going to hit him with a suspension regardless of whether he's found guilty in this. And I think this is just going to be an accumulation of everything that he's been slapping the NFL in the face and damaging the image. They're going to use this to the fullest extent that they can. And I'll say this. You mentioned earlier about some people think he's the greatest. Terrell Owens was on that track, but he had drama. And look what it took for him to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I can absolutely see so many people dislike AB and the NFL goes against him. I can see this exact same thing happening to him. He's a bit player the next couple of years because nobody's willing to give him money. He's not willing to play hard without the money. I can just totally see him going down that path. And that's not counting if he goes anything criminal is found out to be true.
And he's already said in interviews he doesn't need the money. He's a millionaire. Cash money. Everything's paid off. So you have to think, if he goes on this exempt list, does he even have the passion to play anymore? And after that interview, will teams take a – I know a particular team that will take a risk in the Patriots, but will other teams look at him and say, you've been out of the NFL for a year and a half. You've already said you don't want to play. You don't need to play. You don't need the money. Why should we risk everything we have to get you back on the team? I think he retires, at least for a couple years. And like you said, the whole T.O. situation, I could see that happening. But I think T.O. wanted it more as a player than I think Antonio Brown wants it as a player.
Oh, I agree. I think T.O. felt like he could still play and contribute and wanted to. And A.B. is just, if I'm going to play, I'm going to play on my terms.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the game's changed. It's not your terms anymore once stuff like this happens.
The NFL is going to make it known quick. This is not the NBA.
Yep.
You play by our rules or you don't play at all. On to fantasy, Hunter Henry is out, expected to be sideline 4 to 6 weeks, a fracture of the tibia. I'm not a doctor, I don't know. What does this mean for fantasy and who should people be on the lookout for, Jim?
Well, there's a couple of obviously players that probably are not on the waiver. Mark Andrews would, you know, anytime we go into a draft, I try to get a safe prospect and then somebody with high upside. Darren Waller looked fantastic.
Hold on, let me write that down. Denver. Let me write that down for next year. Okay, go ahead.
He's gone, trust me. He's on my team. But Darren Waller, Mark Andrews, Hayden Hurst may actually show up in that Baltimore. He had 4 or 5 targets this past weekend and actually did okay with him. If Mark Andrews didn't have 100 yards, Hurst might have gotten the benefit of some of those extra calls. The top five are going to be what they are. Somebody's going to look at a couple of these tight ends that didn't do anything in the first week, and Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle, they're going to say, nah, I'm not, you know, I need to cut bait. And those guys are always available.
So let's recap quickly. Your team and Brad and I's team went head-to-head in two leagues. You beat us in both. Congratulations.
Is that what it's called? Head-to-head?
Head-to-head. And let's just recap while we have you on. We're going to recap the NCAA conference champions. Brad and I had LSU. You had Alabama. Across the board, we have Clemson. Ohio State for Brad. Ohio State for me. Michigan for you. Across the board, Oklahoma. And across the board, Oregon for the Pac-12. Now, guys, remember, as we do every year, week 10 mark, we can come back and make any changes to any conference. Final Four, same thing with divisions and conference champions in the NFL.
Did you guys both have Oregon?
We did.
Okay, I thought you had. I thought one of you had Washington.
As far as the playoffs, Brad's Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, Ohio State. Mine, Clemson, LSU, Oklahoma, Georgia. And Jim's was Clemson, Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia. With the LSU Tigers winning in Brad and I scenario and the Clemson Tigers winning in Jim's. A recap of last week. College picks. Brad went 60%. I went 80%. Jim went 60%. Brad missed on the Stanford and Clemson. I missed on the Stanford. And you missed on the Texas and Clemson. I got lucky, I guess you could say, on the Clemson pick. Because Clemson had that last-minute shit touchdown by A&M. Got me that. This week, we're doing things different. You're going to pick two matchups. I'm going to pick two matchups. Brad's going to pick two matchups. And that's how we're going to do it from here on out. Switch to NFL. AFC North, Pittsburgh for Brad, Baltimore.
Wait a second. So the two matchups I'm picking, are you having to pick those as well?
Yes.
Oh, I got you. I thought yes. We just picked our own two. Okay.
Now you put in two, Brad puts in two, I will put in two, and that's the six. Instead of just doing five random, I said let's just make it even. Everybody pick two.
Gotcha.
AFC North, Pittsburgh for Brad, Baltimore for myself, Pittsburgh for Jim, AFC South, Jacksonville across the board, AFC East, New England across the board, and AFC West, Kansas City across the board. Now, Jim, me and Brad, since AFC East was probably the most predictable, we did something. Now, who's going to come in second? Brad picked the Jets. I picked the Bills. Who do you think is going to come second in that AFC East division?
You know, I got to say the Bills.
Okay.
I actually like their swagger this year.
Bills were down by, what, 16? 16-0, and they came back and won 17-16. Yep. NFC North, Minnesota for Brad, Chicago for myself, Minnesota for Jim, NFC South, New Orleans for myself, New Orleans for Brad, Atlanta for Jim, NFC East, Philadelphia across the board, and NFC West, Los Angeles across the board. Wild card, AFC Chargers and Cleveland for Brad, Pittsburgh and Chargers for myself, and Chargers and Cleveland for Jim, NFC wild card, Atlanta, Carolina for Brad, Atlanta, Seattle for myself, Carolina, Seattle for Jim. Super Bowl champs, New Orleans for Brad and myself, and New England for Jim. After watching New England last week, I understand that they weren't playing anybody, at least we think. We don't need Antonio Brown. We don't need Le'Veon Bell. And they go on the field, and they clearly shows they need help. The Patriots just destroy the Steelers. 33-3 is what it was, I believe.
Yep.
So they got a lot of work in Pittsburgh to do. As I said, you sure you want to recap these NFL games?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny. On that New England game, Bill Belichick does what he always does. He takes away what he thinks is your best weapon. And what used to be the case was for Pittsburgh, if you took away Le'Veon, you had to deal with AB. And if you took away AB, you still had Smith-Schuster and Le'Veon. It didn't matter who was there. They had multiple options. Well, it showed the other day, You take away Smith-Schuster, they don't have a number two. I mean, Moncrief dropped. He had 10 passes. I think he dropped seven balls.
It was nuts.
And James Washington isn't at the level to be the number two like Smith-Schuster was last year with AB on the other side. I mean, these guys that go from the number two to the number one, they don't realize you're playing a number one corner and you're going to get doubled. That's like a player and a half on top of you every play. It's not so easy, and very few receivers make that jump from two to one.
Like Brad and I were talking last week, it's easy to be Juju to Antonio Brown, But when you have to be Juju number one, you have, unless you're a special, special talent, you don't need a number two. But if you're anything but excellent and Hall of Fame worthy, you're going to need a number two. And until they can find Juju to Antonio Brown in Pittsburgh, I don't see that offense clicking, at least like they were the last few years.
And well, you know, it's, when it works is when you have an aging number one, like say a Chris Carter, right, and Randy Moss comes in.
Yes.
Because as soon as Randy Moss assumes that number one role, Chris Carter is an amazing number two.
Yep.
But that's not the case in Pittsburgh, where you had AB left. He's not there.
Yeah.
And so it's not like he's taken on that role.
Even without Antonio Brown, I believe Juju still had 7 catches for 84 yards.
Yeah, it wasn't like he had a bad game. He just
for didn't fantasy, have AB. He gave you decent points. Well, let's get to it, man. You want to do college or NFL first? You pick.
Oh, no. We need to go over our NFL picks last week.
Oh, okay. Brad had 16%. What a chump. And Jim had 83%. Good job, Jim.
And the host had?
I also had 16%. It was in the 4-year history of this show, this has been my worst. I've never had picks under 40%. This is embarrassing. And I say this every year on the show, Jim, every year. The first 3 weeks in NFL to me are the hardest to pick, because you don't know what you have on offense, you don't know what you have on defense, and it takes a good 3 weeks to maintain consistency to feel at least somewhat really confident to say, okay, I mean, how many people besides you had the Bears and 3? A lot of people did. But
Packers and 3.
The Packers and 3, I'm sorry. A lot of people chose the Bears to cover the spread. A lot of people did. They didn't. I'm confident to say now by week 7, the Bears will be averaging 28, 30 points a game because they have the talent. They just have to get there. And then with that defense, I don't know how you can argue. Well, let me ask you a question before we make our picks. Was the Packers' defense that good? Or do you think the Bears' offense wasn't in sync? Because you look at the talent they have on Chicago. I mean, Green Bay's never been famous for a good, really, really good defense. I mean, was it a good defense or was it a rusty offense?
Well, I think it's a combination of a couple of both. The Bears are going to go through Trubisky, and he looked stagnant, stale. He just looked like he wasn't excited to be there. I mean, he just wasn't crazy. I don't know if he just assumed it was just going to be a runover. But the flip side of that is the Packers picked up 3 individual defensive players that were enormous upgrades, and one was Amos, who came from the Bears. People don't understand, you can go into a defensive meeting room and say, this is what we did to them in practice, and right, shut them down.
Right.
I mean, and he was the one that made the game-sealing interception. He saw that, read it from the get-go, covered a lot of ground and made the pick in the end zone. No question that he doesn't make that play on somebody he doesn't know.
So we're going to make our picks here. And guys, the spread we give you now is what the spread is as of Tuesday, September 11th, and we do talk every day in a group chat, and by Saturday morning, our picks may change because the spreads may change. For example, LSU was a 56.5-point favorite. When I put this spreadsheet together yesterday, it's now a 51-point favorite. So we make picks now, but by the end of the week, Saturday morning for college and early Sunday, our picks may change, and if they do, we'll update you on the following week. So let's start out with college while we're talking about it. LSU is a 51-point favorite against Northwestern. Jim, we'll start with you, man. As of right now, it's 51. It may change. So what say you?
Wait, that's not Northwestern. That's
Northwestern.
Northwestern, Louisiana.
No.
Are you serious?
Yes. The Demons.
Okay, if that's the case.
Let me double check. So I'll tell you what, I'll check on that. While I check on that, let's go to Stanford UCF. UCF is a 7.5-point favorite.
You're asking me for my pick?
Yes. And I'm going to check on that Northwestern pick.
Yeah, I'm going to take UCF. There's zero chance that LSU is favored by 50 over any Big Ten school. The bookies will get killed on that line. So that has to be – that's a D2 or – D3 team.
I'm pulling it up right now. Yeah.
Because Northwestern actually played well a week ago.
Northwestern State.
Yes. See, that's
okay. There you go. Northwestern.
I shouldn't have said anything. I should not have said anything.
You shouldn't have. Northwestern State is getting 51 points here. What say you?
I'm gonna say they have a little bit of a letdown. They get up big, but not 51 points. So I'll take Northwestern State.
I agree. I agree with that. LSU is on fire this year for offense, but to win by 51, LSU is going to have to shut them out, and LSU always gives up a late touchdown or a field goal. Or I just don't see LSU winning 51-0 or 52-0 by that. Brad's pick is not confirmed. Stanford, UCF, I'll go first. Man, I when we played UCF, I didn't think they were good. When LSU played them in the bowl game, they gave us arguably the greatest game we've had that year, including Alabama. So every year I go against them, I'm disappointed. But you look at Stanford, and we talked about the third-string quarterback for USC coming in and just taking over that game, beating Stanford by 24 points. I tell you what, I'm going to go UCF on this one, man.
Yeah, I'll take UCF on it.
Oh, thank God. I like when our picks match because that means I'm Temple and Maryland. Maryland's favored by 7.5. You've seen what Maryland did the last couple weeks. Who was it they destroyed? It was –
77-0
And then they upset somebody, not last week.
No, it wasn't an upset. They just put it on. It wasn't Wake, I don't believe. I have to go back and look. But Temple's no slouch. Temple's only played one game. They were 1-0, but they didn't play as tough a talent, but they gave up 7 points. So Maryland has yet to give up a point in two straight games. So when you're outscoring teams by 40, 50, yeah, it's kind of easy.
So what say you, Temple 7.5 or Maryland?
Maryland.
I'm also going to go Maryland. And as you see, I'm fluctuating picks, so it doesn't look like I'm taking your pick every turn. OU is favored by 24 against UCLA. Jalen Hurts is all I have to say. I'm going OU in this one. I expect him to cover big.
Yeah, I think UCLA is done. Their first two losses – and they were coming in trying to rectify a bad season last year by Chip. And I don't think he makes it through another couple of weeks before he's gone. And the team's kind of folded on itself. They're ready to be done. Two games in, which is crazy.
This one was the hardest one for me, man, because you look at Kentucky and you know what they can do, at least last year. And then you look at Florida and they barely beat Miami, who lost. In the second week to who'd they lose to? They lost to some team. Or they barely beat some
team. No, they barely won. Yeah, they barely won.
They barely beat a shit team. So you look at Florida and you're like, okay, I was expecting Florida to be really good this year. As of right now, they're not living up to my expectations. But, man.
What's the spread?
7 points. Florida's favorite.
At Kentucky?
At Florida. No. That's important, actually. I'm going to look that up. Here we go. Florida at Florida is now an 8-point favorite, and it's at Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm going Kentucky, man. I'm going Kentucky.
You know, I'm going to take Florida.
Okay.
I think Kentucky is just – they just never have the athletes unless they've got a dominant quarterback that can change the game, you know, couch – a couple of the other guys have come through. They can be close, but they just can't pull it out. So I'll go Florida.
And then I put this one in for love and respect for Brian Harwood. Bowling Green, who got absolutely annihilated last week against a team that put up 340 yards passing against the Texas Longhorns. And I always say this. Somebody told me when we were talking about LSU-Texas prior to the game, I said, man, LSU was going to pass all over Texas. Louisiana Tech put up 340. His response: it doesn't matter how many passing yards they give. They didn't score. It's very important how much passing yards they give, because if you play a team that can finish drives, it could be dominating, and you saw that. Louisiana Tech's a 10.5-point favorite against Bowling Green. Brian, I love you. I appreciate everything you've done for the SBFSC, but Louisiana Tech is not only going to cover, they're going to cover big.
I agree. Actually, I agree big.
shout out to Louisiana Tech from Louisiana. Let's go to the NFL, man. and I learned a valuable lesson Monday night. I am never, ever.
Don't go 16%.
Yes. But I will bet on LSU in the game and on the shows like this. But I will not bet money. I'm sorry, on the Saints. I will not bet real money on my team because
I saw your teaser, your parlay.
If you have a passion for your team, whatever sport it may be, I mean a true passion, and you want to see that team win, you can't root for your team and then root to win money. If you do, tell me how to do it. Because the whole time I'm like, man, you got to score. And then I was coming back saying, Houston, you got to give them trouble so they don't hit the over. It's just too much for me, man. It was too much. Jim sent us a message and said, looks like I won. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. You did win. At least my Saints won the game. But I will always do a Saints on this show. And the Rams are favored by 3 pretty much because they're the home team. So Vegas is telling you this is a what and what. I expect this game to be just like the Texans Saints game. I'll let you go first. Or you want me to go first? I'll go first.
It doesn't matter. My pick's not gonna change.
Well, I don't want you to think I'm picking your pick. I expect the Saints to win, but not by 3. So I'm going to go Rams.
Wait, the Rams are favored.
I'm sorry. I expect the Saints to win, but not by 3. So I'm going to take the Saints. And the
so you're taking the Saints plus the points.
Yes.
If they win, it doesn't matter. You still beat the spread. I'm going to take the Rams, and the reason is Breeze at home and Breeze on the road. That's two different players, and that's been well documented. But I also think he cannot be anything less than what he was against Houston, which was awesome, fantastic, great, the great player that he is. If he's anything less than that, Rams are going to eat that defense alive, and they're going to put up 30. He's got to put up 35. And I just don't think he does that on the road. So I'll take the Rams in that game.
Who did the Rams play last week?
Rams played Carolina. Came across the country.
In Carolina and won 30.
In Carolina. And were up 2 scores until Cam brought them back into the game late.
Yeah, the Rams are a good team, man. Redskins, Cowboys. Cowboys are favored by 5. And I hate saying this. Is Dak that good, or is the Giants' defense that bad?
I've never been a fan of Dak. I mean, to my opinion, he's overrated, but I know that I'm wrong. I honestly think they got up and they just got on a roll. Yep. I mean, it's a tough team to play. I mean, think about it. You're basically going against one of the best top 3 running backs in the league with the offensive line to boost. If you don't play the run, he's going to throw it. And he's good enough and has got good enough receivers. Michael Gallup's coming into his own as a second receiver.
Yep.
Cooper is going to ball out every game as long as he's not hurt.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So you add those two, and then you throw Randall Cobb into the mix, and then you got Witten came back, who can be a 5-yard per catch player 3 times a game, and every one of those 5 yards is a first down. It's almost impossible to keep them from not getting a first down if they don't do it themselves.
I'm going to take the Cowboys here, man. The Redskins were up 17-0 on the Eagles. Let the Eagles come back and beat them. I don't think the Cowboys offense looks so good. They look so good in week 1, and I just think a lot of people said a lot of things about Dak, how he's not that good. When Ezekiel Elliott is on that field, the guy plays to an elite level. And like you said, you have Gallup coming in his own. I understand Jason Witten is old, but Jason Witten made a play to get a touchdown last week. Then let's cover these two guys. Then you still have Cooper on the outside. This is a really, really good offense, man, and I expect the Cowboys to definitely cover those 5 points against Washington. Especially now that Geis is out, and I understand the backup. Yeah. Thompson is pretty good, but, I mean, you're going essentially without your number 1 running back.
Right. Well, AP is going to get all the playing time this week. Thompson will get the passing game, but I think they're going to get behind early. And unlike last week where they had a lead and they could kill some of the clock, you're not going to be able to run on Dallas,
yeah,
which means you're going to have to throw. And I think the offensive line wasn't good. But Philadelphia's secondary is one of the worst in the league now, which is shocking.
Washington?
Philadelphia's secondary is one of the worst in the league. So you can pass on them. Keenum had a field down. I don't think you're going to get that against Dallas.
Not against Dallas. Not at home. Not on the road in Dallas against that Dallas defense. Man, they're ruthless at home. I'm assuming you're going Dallas in the five here.
Yeah, I'll take Dallas laying points.
One game last week, I thought, I'm going to be honest. I watched the Falcons more than I should. Saints are in their division. And a healthy Falcons team is a dangerous Falcons team.
You're a closet fan. It's okay.
When they play the Saints. And I learned that part because a healthy Falcons team looks like shit against anyone else except the Saints. If that was the Saints, it would have went into double overtime. It would have been a tie. But they just always give us a hard game, healthy or non-healthy. And we swept them last year, Jim, but they weren't healthy. And they still gave us a run. So I'm thinking, man, if this Falcons team can get healthy, they got healthy, they went into Minnesota, and they got blown out. It wasn't even a contest. Eagles are favored by 1.5 at home. I got the Eagles, man. I don't know what's going on with Atlanta. You have arguably some of the best talent in the NFL. Healthy offensive line. Atlanta did lose two defenders last week. They did go down. That's what started last year with the Falcons, and they just became a total shit show. I have the Eagles 1.5 to cover.
Well, I initially, that was my pick. I had the Eagles coming into Atlanta, and but this week I'm having second thoughts about it simply because.
Now remember, people. Remember, if the line changes, our picks can change. So.
Yeah. So, but I'm just. If Julio goes against that same secondary that gave up all those yards to Keenum, and you got Matt Ryan thrown, if you don't hit Matt Ryan and knock him down a lot, he's going to complete passes. You just can't stop that. So. Ridley, Sanu, Julio, and Hooper, I think, are going to have a field day. So I actually think this is going to be a shootout that Atlanta has a shot to win. And the reason they have a shot to win is because Philadelphia won't pick a running back. If Philadelphia gave the ball to Miles Sanders or Darren Sproles 40 times, they would do exactly what Dalvin Cook did last week. Because he went off, and he was the difference in that game by a lot. Kirk Cousins threw, 10 passes?
And let me mention, Minnesota's defense is a lot better.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. And so, the game was 14-0 before Atlanta could do anything. I mean, they stopped them 3-and-out. They scored, stopped Atlanta on 3 straight plays, and on the first play of the game was a sack, and then 2 incompletions, and then they turned around and blocked the punt.
Yep.
And they're at the 20-yard line. So we're 5 minutes into the game, and it's 14-0. So
you took the Falcons.
In this game, I think I'm going to switch and take the Falcons.
Okay. Let me see. I do this, and I don't put the home team.
Who is it?
Week 2, Pittsburgh, Seattle.
It's in Pittsburgh.
It's in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is now a 4.5. I had 4 on the spreadsheet.
So Pittsburgh is a dog.
Pittsburgh is favored by 4.5.
Okay.
Which really 0.5 being that they're at home, but it has changed. I understand Seattle had some problems with Cincinnati, and I understand Cincinnati's not that good. They have talent. But man, something is just after what I saw last week, Jim. Until Pittsburgh can prove to me they can put up points, Seattle is a good team. They really are. They're not New England Patriots good. But again, at home, Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin, you can't put it past that team to at least try to fix the mistakes they had. Seattle coming in with a little sloppy game, traveling across the country. This is tough, dude, because I chose Seattle, and I can't keep choosing against Seattle if I have them in the playoffs. I'll let you go first since I took the last game.
Well, I actually like Seattle. And the reason is, after watching last week and watching Philip Dorsett catch bomb after bomb wide open, it wasn't Edelman. Edelman's going to get his down the seams and underneath. But I mean, their secondary was atrocious in Pittsburgh. So I get it. You're on the road. You're playing Brady. But – Wilson all it takes is one pass to Tyler Lockett.
He didn't even have a pass until the fourth quarter on that long touchdown. Metcalf was the guy.
That's what I
want to say. The dude had 12 targets.
All it takes is one. And I think 40,
I want to say it was a 43-yard touchdown to Lockett.
And think about it. They've got to pay so much attention to the run this week. If they start thinking we're got to protect the pass, Chris Carson's going to have a field day.
Yeah, I'm going to take Seattle too, man. I don't see Pittsburgh. If they do win, it's not going to be by much. So
right.
I'm going to take Seattle in this. Seattle's a good team. Last year they had a down year. They're expected to make – I mean, Seattle's mindset is we're going to come over here and we're going to take advantage of a bruised Pittsburgh team. And you know that mindset in Seattle, man. If they want to get physical, they can get physical.
Well, you got to remember, too, Jadeveon Clowney is going to play more this week.
Oh, that's right. I forgot they had him now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he didn't – he played, but he didn't – he was on a – it was on a count last week, snap count. So this week he's going to be unleashed. He's got another week of practice. They're going to look at the film, game film, and they're just going to – I think they're going to pick him up big time.
Speaking of Clowney, he wasn't there in Houston. J.J. Watt against the Saints, zero tackles. His name was
– Yeah, he got doubled and triple teamed.
Hey, your boy handled his ass. Resnick handled him.
No, he handled him with help. I mean, I get it. And don't get me wrong.
You got to do it, though.
Oh, I get it. I get it. You're absolutely right. Let's just be honest.
I don't care if it was Baltimore. To hold J.J. Watt to zero tackles in a game where the Saints ran 48% of the time.
Yeah, he played like 70 snaps.
Yeah, it's you got to give props to anybody that could do that. Great coaching. San Francisco, Cincinnati. Let me see where this game – it's in Cincinnati. They are now favored by 2. It was 1.5. I got Cincy, man. I think what they showed in Seattle, like I said, I think Seattle's a playoff team, and what Cincinnati did on the road against Seattle was impressive. I don't think San Francisco's that good. They're very immature when it comes to mentality. They had three touchdowns called back on penalties, and they were at home. You can't do that.
Two of them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can't do that on the road. Cincinnati's a good team. I think they felt good about themselves, even though they took an L in Seattle. They almost won. I'm going to go Cincy in the 2 here.
I think I'm going to agree with that. I just can't see San Francisco. I mean, you had Mike Williams last week who was sick, didn't do a lot, and they kind of held Chris Godwin down. But – I mean, both those guys still put up some decent numbers, and that was in a game where Winston was just horrible.
Yeah.
So I think Dalton is going to be able to hit Boyd, is going to be able to hit Ross, I mean, who came out of
that
nowhere.
That dude, I was about to say, he went off last. Every catch. It was Ross. I'm like, where's fucking Boyd at? The dude was going off. Another weapon for Cincinnati.
So this week I think there's going to be – a counter to that, Boyd's going to be heavily involved, and if it's a shootout, I don't think San Francisco has the receivers, and Garoppolo isn't playing as well yet to get there to do that. So I agree. I think Cincinnati wins that, especially at home. They played well last week against Seattle and a much tougher environment and a much better team in Seattle.
Jets and Browns. Browns are favored by 3, and if this thing would come on, it's Monday Night Football. They're playing in New York. Cleveland, at the time of the spreadsheet, was favored by 3. They're now favored by 2.5. Cincinnati or New York had the lead, man. They were up 16-0 against Buffalo. They gave the lead up and came back and lost. Browns were a shit show. Let's just be honest. I said they were going to implode by week 6. They imploded week 1. Is Baker Mayfield this bad, Jim? I mean, every time I turn on Red Zone, it was another interception by Baker Mayfield. A pick 6 by it's like, man, what happened? All this beer chugging. What happened to the Browns, boss?
And, you know, it's a hard fall. What is it? It's I forgot what it is, fall hard or whatever.
Yeah.
But they're riding such a big hype train, and it's inevitable. I mean, I get it. They can go 8-8 this year now, and it'll be considered a failure.
Right.
If they don't make the playoffs, it's a failure. And you went 0-16 2 years ago. How the hell could that be a failure? But they do have talent. But, man, you also got a coach and a coordinator who've never been either before this year. So how do they deal with that? And if they do start imploding, I just don't have any faith at all that a coach with no experience can handle all those personalities on that team if it starts going bad.
We could barely handle Odell at LSU just with Odell. So, I mean, you got Mayfield, which is a personality of its own. Jarvis Landry. Nick Chubb, man. What is Nick Chubb going to see more time than he did? Because I know not only was he disappointing on the field, but he hurt a lot of players on fantasy.
Yeah, and me being one of them. Yeah, it was just not a good game. But again, it's the first week.
Right.
I mean, there were so many things that happened this first week that were unexpected. The lack of playing time in the preseason is got to become an issue. If not this year, then next year. I think they eventually go away with it and they do two preseason games and two extra games in the regular season. Because if they're not going to play, what's the point in it?
Right.
You're not getting anybody ready.
And especially this year, when previous to this year, every week you have to cut so many players.
Yep.
I think this year was the first year you cannot cut anybody. And in week four to week one, you got to trim your roster to 53.
Exactly.
So they let 40 players go, I know, on Hard Knocks. And it's like, well, if you're going to do that, if that's going to be your mindset, go to 2 weeks, cut who you want to cut, when you want to cut them. By week one, have your roster down to 53.
That all started with McVay last year saying, I will not play any of my starters in preseason. And he didn't.
Right.
And they made it through the season without him. So everybody decided to do that. And honestly, I could see it. If I got to cut, say, 40 players and keep 53 and I start out with the 90 or whatever it is, I want to see those guys to find the gym. I don't need to see Odell.
You know what Gurley's going to do. I'll play him. Why risk injury?
Yeah, he's got true NFL experience. So and I will lose my job if I go out there and I play Tom Brady. And I will say this. The one exception to that rule is the Patriots. The Patriots play everybody every year in the third or fourth game. They just don't sit anybody out unless they're already injured. But even then, they just have that mentality. Other teams are not willing to do it. So I understand that. I'm gonna risk my career. I'm gonna get fired when Lamar Jackson goes down in a meaningless preseason game, and now I'm starting a backup quarterback. So I got to change my entire offense.
Yeah, I want to talk about that. Before we do, Browns favor 2.5, Jets on the road, Monday Night Football. Who you got? I chose the Jets.
It's in New York.
It's in New York.
That's tough. I mean, I like both of their offenses.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Bell playing a home game, showing out first game back, or first game at home, and just going nuts.
And they were so close to winning, man. They tasted it. They tasted that win.
They won. Well, to be honest with you, of the two teams, I can see Cleveland being 0-2 much easier than I can see the Jets. So I'm going to go with the Jets.
All right, so now let's talk Lamar Jackson. I mean, this guy, you gave me a parlay. I owed you some money. I started looking at it. I liked the parlay. I put $10 in myself. You'd have won $580. I'd have won $240. But one of the ones that were on there were over and under 40.5 with the Ravens and Dolphins. We both took the under. Ravens scored 40 before halftime, my dude. Lamar Jackson just, first off, Mark Ingram, the Saints are missing him. As a true Saints fan, that second quarter when we would have had Mark Ingram down in the dirty, we're missing him. He had over 102 yards, two touchdowns. Lamar Jackson, 284?
In the first half, yeah.
And five touchdowns, man. You look at Lamar Jackson that played the Chargers in the playoffs last year, and you look at Lamar Jackson that played week one, man, what a progression.
Well, I think in that game they made an effort, do not run. We want you to throw. This is a good defense to throw against.
And he did. He stayed in the pocket. He did.
Yeah, and if you look at the passes that he threw, I mean, he threw short slants, which are not a high risk, and over the top. And he has the receivers made for that offense now. And these young guys came in. I mean, Marquise Brown.
Has to be the number one pickup in free agency. If he's not drafted already, he's got to be the number one pickup this week.
Yeah, I have him in most dynasty leagues that I was available with. Brad and I went back and forth on it all year. And even though he was injured, he was still productive in college. He made Kyler Murray. Yep. He made Baker Mayfield. You can say whatever you want to, but when you throw a five-yard pass and a guy takes it 75 yards, that's the receiver, not the quarterback.
So two questions. One, Lamar Jackson, buy or sell? And two, Marquise Brown, buy or sell? Let's start with Lamar Jackson.
I will buy. I personally have him in a couple leagues, but I won't go out and buy because cost will be crazy right now. But if you wait till he has a game where he throws a couple of picks and something like that, you might be able to get him cheaper. But to me, he's a buy candidate. I don't think he's going to be what he was last week. But I could put him in the top 12, you know, end of the top 12, something like that. And if he's doing that in year two and they've catered that offense to him, as long as Greg Roman keeps that offense what it is, he's going to be fine.
Marquise Brown, buy or sell? For this year. Love
him. Yeah, love him. For this year, I keep hearing this, that he only played 8 snaps. So you can't expect that. And I'm like, I get what they're saying. You can't expect a guy to catch 4 passes for 190 yards or whatever it was in out of 8 snaps. But he's also been injured, and they were up so big, he didn't play the second half.
Why play?
He didn't run a snap in the second half. So why would you need a guy who's been dealing with foot issues to be out there running around? The guy's got 150 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half, first quarter. I mean, it was nuts. So I buy because I think he's going to be, to me, he's like Tyler Lockett, but he's a better player. He'll take an underneath play. He's the only question on him is when he does get hit, can he take it? I mean, the guy's like 170 pounds.
Every week we do an over and under. This week's over and under. Lamar Jackson, you can do a push as well. 3 touchdowns against Arizona.
3? 3.
I'm going to go over.
That includes total touchdowns.
Total.
Right?
I'm going over, yeah. Rushing, passing.
I'll go over. There's a bit of a revenge game in this game because who's the defensive end that left Baltimore for so long?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think
of his name. Him and Ray Lewis were buddies. Anyway, he left this year and is now in Arizona. So this is a revenge game for them. But I think he still goes over the touchdowns.
There's Rick's picks. So Kyler Murray, first game in the NFL, looks like he's going to get blown out at home against Detroit. They come back, tie it, go in overtime. The game ends in a tie. What do you think about Kyler Murray's first NFL showing here?
I think there's some injustice going on that he's as good as the line showed, and that's not true. Detroit got up big, kind of went into a prevent way too early. And, I mean, I'll give the kid credit. He's going to have escapability. He's throwing well, he's doing well. But he, if you go back and look at the game, he was not as good as the final stats indicated.
Yep. So any big surprises this week, man? Anybody we need to look out for, whether it be on the field, off the field, fantasy?
I'll be honest. It's one of the few times that you'll ever see a line above 14 points in the NFL. The fact that Miami lost so bad,
and
the fact that New England looked so great, is the reason that line is, I think it's 18 now.
And I know what you're talking about, and I took a parlay and I added that. I took – where are we at here? That was last week. It's on my phone.
Yeah, they're playing – it's a division game, though.
Yeah. Well, first off, Baltimore is favored at the time of this bet, and this is the bet I have. Baltimore was favored by 13.5. I took Arizona. Miami was New England was favored by 19 at the time of this bet. I took Miami and the 19 points. Dallas Cowboys were favored by 5. I took Dallas, and I took the Giants to win against Buffalo. I took the 2 points. And
who was the last one?
Bills were favored by 2 against the Giants, and I took the Giants and the points. I hit the part.
That's a tough game.
It is tough. Man, let's start with playmakers. Saquon Barkley. The guy, he didn't go loose last week. I think he's going to have a big week. But Buffalo was down, and I think I think Buffalo's good, man. I really do. I don't think the Giants will – if they get back in that hole, I don't think the Giants will allow them to come back by 16 points like the Jets did.
Yeah, but do you think the Giants can get up by 16?
No, but I think the Giants will win by 2.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to lean on the Bills on that side. Like I said, Bills are a sleeper team for me.
I agree.
So, they're going to have good matchups with teams in the division, but their defense, Sean McDermott has put together a great defense, and now he's got some bit players that can. I mean, Josh Allen can throw the ball all day. May not be accurate, but he doesn't have to be when the receiver runs by somebody by 10 yards. So.
How do you like the Dolphins at 19? I mean, look, I understand what the Dolphins did last week. I understand what the Patriots did. But for both teams to get blown out and or blow out another NFL team 2 weeks in a row, 19 points is a lot of points in the NFL, man. Especially against a team that is a division rival.
Right. There's a stat that's been going around that I think there's been like 21 times an NFL game has had a 2-touchdown spread. And not counting division games or anything like that, but in those games, the favored team was 6-20 or 6-15, something like that. So it's hard in the NFL to beat somebody by 2 touchdowns when it's predicted. Yeah. I mean, it happens all the time, but when it's predicted, that's tough.
In the final, we're not asking for picks. These won't count. But we saw what Arizona did last week. They were down big. They came back. And I understand it's Detroit. We saw what Baltimore did to Miami. Arizona's given 13.5. What do you think about that?
I like who is it again? I'm sorry.
Baltimore's favored by 13.5 against Arizona.
I like Baltimore's defense. I like Arizona's defense. I just don't think either. I don't think they can get up by that. But they are missing Peterson, so it's. I think I'll take Baltimore in it, but again, it's Terrell Suggs is the guy I was thinking about.
Yes. And I'll only add that to the pick if Arizona wins. I'll add that to our picks because it helps me. And after last week, I need as much help as I could possibly get. Especially
you're taking Arizona.
In that parlay, I took Arizona in the 13. I took Miami in the 19. I took the Giants in 2. And I took the Dallas Cowboys in the 5 points. Or Dallas to cover the spread by 5.
Why, let me ask you a question. You've actually booked this?
I do an early parlay. And I do a late parlay every week.
That's what I was going to say. Why do you take an early parlay when the line could change so much?
Because 19, I felt comfortable with 13.5, which essentially is 2 touchdowns. And I felt comfortable with the 19. If it goes down, to me, 17, I can see. But 19,
yeah, but how much do you think, man? How much do you think that line changes if Lamar Jackson is sick and out for the game?
Then it helps me because I took the Cardinals.
Correct, but I'm just saying, it doesn't help you if Kyler Murray is sick.
If Kyler Murray gets sick, I'm going to tweet him. Trust, I got his Twitter. And I'm going to tweet my parlay to him and say, you owe me $350. So.
That's the reason you sent me these picks so early, and I'm like, Jesus, man, I'm going to change my mind.
We normally never change our picks, but when you asked if we change them, I sat there and I thought, we have to do the show on Wednesday because our show is scheduled to come out on Thursdays.
Sure, sure.
And I said, you know what, that's we never done that, but that's not a bad idea because a line, for example, if the line went up any more for the Rams-Saints games, I would change my pick.
Exactly. That's my point.
And I started thinking, that's a good idea. That's a good.
Yeah, in a pick'em game, Atlanta, Philadelphia, if Matt Ryan goes out or Julio's out, that flips that completely, especially in a pick'em game.
Well, I'm learning now. I want to say by week three, I will not be doing any more early parlays. If week one hasn't worked out, if two doesn't work out, I'm going to stick with late parlays.
Well, on one, you lost the first game of the NFL season in Chicago.
Yeah, I was right there. After that game, I looked at my wife and I said, I'm killing it in college, but this NFL week is not going to go well for me at all.
Well, the good thing, though, is that you had won in college the kickoff weekend, so you had won a parlay, so you were playing with house money.
Correct. And if I lose that parlay, I'm still working with house money. Thank God.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, and that's why I bet 15, 20 bucks a part. I'm on this. Right. I joined this group on Facebook. It's a sports betting group, Jim, and I understand people gamble, but these people are $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, you know, to win 15, 20. And I get that because that's what serious gamblers do. But I could never. I don't have enough confidence in myself to go to work tomorrow to bet eight grand on anything.
Well, listen, I'll tell you something. This is 100% factual. I got into gambling through a friend of mine, my roommate. His dad was a gambler. His dad and
two for the money type gambler.
No. His dad and two guys would bet 50 to 60 grand a weekend.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen, and I didn't know that, but they would tell me, they'd get together at a bar, they'd come back, and they'd tell us who they picked. I would go with his dad to pay or pick up money every Thursday. This is actually before Thursday night games.
Right.
But the crazy part was his dad, I swear to God, this is way beyond anything I would ever do. His dad would go take a note, a second mortgage out to bet 50 grand. If he won, they'd pay it off. And if he didn't, he'd wait and slow down. And the guys would move money between themselves
right.
to cover the guy who was down until he came back.
Every week,
like clockwork, and they got me started on it, and I enjoyed it. But it is an easy landslide to go down the wrong slope. My roommate got caught up in it, and we had to quit being roommates because I was scared to walk out of my house.
When someone asked how much I bet, I said $12, and they said that's it. I said, dude, I am not. Because I go in a casino, and I'll come in with $20, and somehow I'll end up betting $1,000 on red by the end of the night. That's just
exactly.
How I am. I have to limit myself.
Yep.
And it's so easy when you lost the game, and you said, fuck, all right, I can make it back on this one, but I'll have to bet double.
That's the draw. That's the reason the casinos exist, is because you always have the opportunity to win it back.
Yep.
They never close down. They never kick you out. You always have the opportunity to win it back. So, and the smartest person in any casino and smartest person in any gambling at all is the person that walks away as soon as he wins. But that is not human nature.
It's not easy. Oh, that's it? Just walk away when you're winning? Because when you're losing, you just want to get back to even. And when you're even, you're like, now I want to be up. Being
now
even
I'm on
is
a
not,
roll.
Yeah, now it's
now
not good
roll.
Enough.
Yep,
I got my money back. But you know what? Imagine what I can do if I can double this.
Yep.
And that's just the mindset of bettors, man. And that's why I really – someone goes, how much do you bet? I say at the beginning of the year, I put $100 in Bovada. And I nickel and dime the website. The last 3 years, I've ended up with over $300 by doing $10 parlays. I'll lose them. And if it ever gets to where before the end of the season I have no money, I'll put 25 more in, and that's it. I've never crossed that line.
And that's
so easy.
Yeah, I typically have done a little more than that, but I stopped completely probably for about 15 years. And when I got really into fantasy football, and I just started devoting time to that, because to me, that's a long-term game. I don't even play daily.
It's a long-term bet.
Yeah. I don't play daily because to me, I put something in, I have no control over it, and I can walk away. If I lose, though, I feel like I just gave money away. If I win, I feel like I got lucky on that event. But in fantasy, and you and I have had this conversation, In fantasy, I think it's less luck simply because you have an opportunity to improve or make your roster worse. Regardless of what is going to happen on the field, you have a draft, and then you have the ability to improve your team. I've been 0-3 before and ended up making the playoffs because I picked up a couple of free agents that happened to hit. Had I not been able to do that, my team probably would have been bad. So there's luck involved because of what happened on the field we have no control over, but there's absolutely skill involved because it's like poker. You have no idea what two cards are coming. So there's luck. If you hit pocket aces, you absolutely got lucky over, you know, a 7-deuce offsuit.
Right.
But I'll sit with any pro and he'll beat me with that 7-deuce offsuit. And there's a reason. Because he is not playing the cards. He's playing the person. He's playing the other things that he can impact. The two cards that he got are just the two cards. Doesn't matter.
Well, Jim, it's been fun, man. I'm glad you got you on. We're going to get you on again for sure. Thank you for coming to the show.
And I appreciate it, man. It was very, very enjoyable. I hope I added something to it.
Oh, for sure. A lot more than the clown that has yet to even do it. But I'm going to play the outro here, man, and we'll get it. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you next week, guys. This was the Weekly Blitz Podcast.
All good.
United Texas time. We don't edit shit. Jim, if you want to hang up, you can hang up. Thanks for coming on, man.
Take care, guys.
Right, you know what I'm talking about. Just let me know.
Normally, I'm trying to do the outro quiet, but you know what? Here's ZZ Top for you.
To that home out on the range. They got a lot of nice girls.
Here's ZZ Top for you on the range.
I'm racing.